Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
That thine eyes may be open toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there. Thou makest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place. And here is your statute for facing the temple. And the Muslims also have this. And hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. Any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house. Then hear thou in heaven, and do, and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked, to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous, to give him according to his righteousness. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee. See that right there? You pay for your sins in this life. He says when it happens, and it's going to happen. He knows it's going to happen. When we are sinful and our enemies come in and attack us.
Gives them a legal foothold.
Yes.
To come in and do something.
That's exactly right. The law is legality.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. As long as Israel is sinless, they have no legal right. Jesus Christ was sinless. Satan had no legal right to murder him. And shall turn again to thee and confess thy name and pray and make supplication unto thee in this house. Then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy people Israel and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. When heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin, when thou afflictest them. It's a reoccurring theme also in this book. You pay for your sins in this flesh. Oh, well, Jesus died for my sins. I'm saved. He died for the spiritual man's sins because the spiritual man wasn't strong enough to keep this flesh in line. But this flesh will pay for whatever it does here. What did Jesus say to the man that he healed? Go and sin no more, lest a worse disease come upon you. Then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give them rain upon thy land, which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. And I'll take it one step further. Even when God forgives, he still requires payment of the flesh. When Israel went up against Benjamin, he told Israel to go ahead and go against Benjamin. Go and fight them. Israel did. They lost 25,000 men, I think, on the first day. They come back and said, oh God, you told us to go up and fight Benjamin. He says, yeah, go ahead and do it again. Go tomorrow. I think they lost 18,000 the next day.
I fell asleep.
And they come back, oh God, then they sacrifice, ask forgiveness. And God says, okay, go a third time, and they win the battle. They were sinful themselves. They were going over there to punish Benjamin for his sins while carrying similar sins on themselves.
Without the direct order to go out,
yes,
from God.
Well, he said, go do it, but they didn't approach him properly.
Right.
Yes. Oh, Lord, forgive me. You know, am I righteous enough to go and place judgment on Benjamin?
Yeah.
They just said, God, shall we go? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I owe you some punishment too. So we're going to learn a lesson right here today.
Yeah.
If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting mildew, locusts, or if there be caterpillars, if their enemy besiege them in the land or their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness be there, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all the people of Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and do, and give every man according to his ways. There you go. It doesn't just say, wipe the slate clean.
Mm-mm.
Forgive every man according to his ways, and God still does that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, You have a really good heart, and you fall by the wayside. God's punishment is going to be a lot less than the man with a wavering heart that falls by the wayside. Whose heart thou knowest, see? It's all about the heart. Mm-hmm. For thou even thou only knowest the hearts of all the children of men. And that's what will happen one day when you stand before God. The heart, your spirit man will be judged. The heart, not your confession at the Alibaba Temple of the Southern Baptist Shrine. It doesn't matter how many times you get up and say words. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter that your name was written on a roll in a church. It's all about the heart. There are covenants in this book with people that aren't even a part of the Adamic line because their hearts followed after God. That they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou givest unto their fathers, our fathers. Moreover, concerning a stranger that is not of thy people, Israel, but cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake. God's chosen people. Yes, because if you catch episode 1, you'll see that he created male and female and said, replenish the earth. And then that was the sixth day. And on the seventh day, he rested. And sometime later, we don't know how long, he says, oh, I got no man to till my garden, which was the temple. Jeremiah said when he flooded the earth, the temple had become a wilderness. He said, there's no man to tend my garden. That was the temple of God at the time. So he created a priest, Adam. And the interesting thing, you got to look at the words real close. He created them male and female. He created them and called their name Adam. One being. And then he took DNA material out of Adam and created Eve. You know what? If you trace back, you'll only come to one. You don't come to two. You come to one. They were never meant to procreate. But when they fell from grace, God devised a way to make it. And a way to bring everyone back in through the Messiah one day. There is where it is. It's all about the heart. Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for. There's no one is a stranger in God's family. All along, all through the books, Deuteronomy and Leviticus, if a stranger come, he can join. He can join the family. Mm-hmm. Let him be circumcised as long as his heart wants to follow God. No one was excluded.
Yes, sir.
God's chosen ones because they were the priest line. Just like the Levites were the priest line. It didn't matter who you were or where you lived. God was even working with the inhabitants of Canaan before the Israelites come in. He had a covenant with them. He said, they're transgressing against me, but they haven't got to the point where I will dislocate them. I'm still working with them. There are still some good hearts in that area. That all people of the earth may know thy name, all people of the earth, to fear thee as do the people of Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have builded is called by thy name. And if thy people go out to battle against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto the Lord toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house that I have built for thee. What's the key phrase there that Israel didn't do when they went up against Benjamin?
Yeah, if you'll go through the process.
Pray to the Lord
right,
first.
Right.
Yeah. You remember when back, well, we ain't got to it yet. Yes, back in the Judges, when Israel had lost its way, and they were getting beaten up by the Philistines, and the head guy says, hey, you remember that gold box?
Oh, yeah.
Well, what did they call that?
Yeah, it'll save us.
What did they call that thing?
The
ark.
It's strong.
Bring it here. They said it will save us.
Yes.
Nothing to do with God. They were relying on religion.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. They used to parade that before the army, and we never lost a single soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not. And if you study the law, catch the episodes on the law.
And Christ reiterates that.
Yes.
The whole thing. And a man who says that he's
no
not
good
a sinner.
Man. None.
the minute that a person says that they're not a sinner.
Yep. Yep.
He makes that example. He's like, eh, that's a lot.
There is no man that sinneth not. Now be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy far or near. And go back to that line, for there is no man that sinneth not. Catch the episodes on the Levitical law. You can grab a handful of soil and it have a dead critter in it, a little roach or an ant that's dead. You're sinful under the law.
Mm-hmm.
You can sit in a chair that an unclean person, a sinful person had set in, and you're sinful under the law. You can touch a doorknob of a sinful person had touched. You can be sinful and not even know it under the law.
Like you just said, you pick it up, you touch that dead insect, not even knowing or whatever, and you're unaware, yes. Sinful, and then you go up and you hug your kid or
yeah.
Something.
There you, he's just spreading it all around.
Right, and then everybody, yeah.
The law is bondage and death and separation from God. Christian, why would you want to hold on to it? Yeah. Sunday. Oh, I can't do nothing on Sunday. Sit here. We don't even drive on Sunday. We prepare our meals. Prepare our meals on Saturday. After we get back from the lake skiing. And we just sit around and watch religious programming on television. Well, I got news for you. Sunday's not the Sabbath. You're sinning already. Saturday's the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. If you confess Jesus Christ, you're supposed to lay it down. You're supposed to look to the liberty and freedom that the original covenant has, the covenant that Jesus Christ reestablished. Follow me and be baptized. One is the heart of man following God. The other is a worldly expression that, yes, I do belong to him.
And when you lay it down, remember you're free. When
yes.
You lay it down, because that's one of the hardest things is the trick of the mind to drag you backwards.
Yep, because it's right there thinking, I should be doing this.
Yep.
I should be doing that. But this book says there's nothing you can do with your hands to make you holy. Yet they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they be carried captives and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. And we will see this very same thing carried out when their nation of Israel is taken into Babylon for 70 years. And so return unto thee with all their heart, with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive. And pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for my name. And hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee and all their transgressions, wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried out them captive, that they may have compassion on them. So the king here is laying down the moral responsibility and law. And every chapter in the book of Judges, most of them said, in the days there was no king, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. And what that meant was in the land there was no moral law, moral guidance. Well, Solomon at this point is providing that, because the excess has not overtaken him yet. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron. That's what God has called this since they left Egypt, the furnace of iron. And what did the Israelites say every time? They said, oh, there's no water. Let us return to the land of flowing water.
Yes.
Oh, there's no food. Let us return to the land of milk and honey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were hard taskmasters, but at least we were eating.
Yes, yes. The furnace of iron, and that's what it means. Heat and servitude. That thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. Thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou speakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven, and he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us. He should have added, let us not run him off all either. Through our actions. That he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. Let these were my words, wherein I have made supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he may attain the cause of his servants and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require. That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, all the people of the earth, not all the land of Israel, all the people of the earth may know the Lord is God, and there is none else. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes. Okay, it's impossible to have a perfect heart. But as long as your heart is following after God, under the law, you can correct the little imperfections, okay? But you must be following after God with your heart, because it says you make a sacrifice without a willing heart, it means nothing whatsoever.
May as well have not done it.
Yes. Yeah. Waste of time. Yeah. Waste of a good expensive sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And to keep his commandments, as at this day, and the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifice before the Lord. And Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offering, which he offered unto the Lord, 22,000 sheep. God doesn't want the blood of sheep.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about millions of people here. And under the law, it's required to keep them in a state of momentary holiness, because they gave up the first covenant of follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. Christian, don't hold on to this thing. It was given to these people as an absurdity to show them, oh my gosh, every day I have to try with my hands to make myself holy. It can't be done. It ends in separation from God and death. Christ came back and restored the first covenant, the original first covenant. Follow God with all your heart and be baptized. And 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. The same day did the king hallow the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings and meat offerings and the fat of peace offerings, because the brazen altar that was before the Lord was too little to receive the burnt offerings and meat offerings and the fat of the peace offerings. And at that time Solomon held a feast, and all of Israel with him, a great congregation from the entering into Hamath unto the river Egypt, before the Lord our God, 7 days and 7 days, even 14 days. On the eighth day he sent the people away, and they blessed the king and went unto their tents, joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness that the Lord had done for David his servant and for Israel his people. Okay, that ends chapter 8 of 1 Kings. Solomon has established a temple. He has brought the Ark of the Covenant in and all the temple ornaments. God came down and dwelt in the temple. Solomon prays to God for blessings over the nation, and everything is wonderful in the nation of Israel. But watch, catch on our next episodes the excesses of Solomon, and see what it leads to. Christian, you got to keep all things in moderation in your life. Talking about food, talking about drink, talking about worldly pleasures, talking about sex, talking about anything this flesh wants has to be kept in moderation. Otherwise, the heart will be turned. I'm not saying the flesh will completely turn your heart from God. Once your heart follows up to God, it cannot be changed. But there are levels to that. Is my heart at 99% today? 86%, 40%? Is it down around 16%? And I'm having trouble even talking to God during the day, let alone getting on my knees. There's a barometer there, and it all has to do with excesses. Everything in moderation. Ben, David, and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, WVFF 97.7, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan, exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.